All right, this is David Corse, Committee Chair. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 10:02 a.m. I'm going to start with a roll call in no particular order. Paul Whitescarver. Paul.
Think you're on mute.
Yep, here.
Cheers. Paul Hinch.
Here.
Tom Patton.
Here.
Doug Delana.
Here.
And John Johnson, not here, and Felix Reyes, not here. Okay, with five present, we have a quorum. For members of the public listening in, I'd just like to introduce, we have a new board member who's not a member of this committee, but Gaffney Fesco will have his first board meeting in December, but he's here listening in to start to get up to speed. So welcome, Gaffney, and looking forward to having you at our first meeting next month.
Thank you. I do too. I look forward to being there.
Cheers. Okay. Next item on the agenda is approval of the October 17th committee minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
Moved.
Moved by Tom. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Paul. Any comments, discussion, or requested changes? Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Right. I
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'll abstain since I wasn't a member.
Yep, noted. Paul Whitescarver abstains. Okay, next item on the agenda is public comment. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak at this time? Any members of the public wish to speak at this time? Excuse me, hearing none. excuse me, we'll move on to item four, which is the financial update. And Ulysses and Fayola, I'll hand it over to you two.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to also just really join our chair in welcoming you also, Gaffney, to the family.
Thank you,
Looking
Ulysses.
forward to working with you.
And I as well with you.
Great, great. But I also wanted to advise this committee that our finance operation is clicking right now at a higher level of proficiency and production. Now that Fayola has joined us, we are at a new level now of proficiency. And I'll share some just a few things that are happening just sort of behind the scenes that she would never talk about that she's doing or has done. But we're now 95% complete right now with our audit. And she came in at a time, as you well know, when the audit had already been announced. So she had no time basically to actually get up to speed, if you will, before the audit. She was in an audit when the audit had already been announced. However, I want you to know that as of last week, we were notified by the auditor that we anticipate no findings. So we anticipate a clean audit. And that draft report should be arriving by December 1. But that was, again, a very, very difficult and delicate time to join us, but to also lead, if you will, this organization through a very important audit as well. So that has taken place. But a couple of the other things I think that you probably should be aware of, when the board approved the $697,000 of transfer to the New Haven Port Authority. Again, that is something that is now 95 to 96% complete that she's been working on. She's made the final amendments to the last ship agreement. The last ship agreement and contract is due for Stanford. That right now is also almost complete. She has now filed what is called a B-107 for the New Haven Harbor Improvement Federal Navigation Project of $1 million. That has now been completed. When it comes to also sending revenue share payments to the city. We're now sending revenue share payments to the city, and the first revenue share payments to the city since our commencement of our operations at the Port of New London. Well, that was also no a simple task, because there are several documents, contracts that have to be reviewed and also reviewed in concert with one another in order to calculate exactly what the exact amount is and the accurate amount is for that transfer. That is taking place. See, as you well know, the board voted for her to be the ethics officer for our organization. She has now also attended that training with the Office of State Ethics. But something that she, I'm going to mention something now, she has absolutely nothing. She knows nothing about, because I just received one of the highest compliments I think we've probably received by someone who works with our office since I've been here. And she knows nothing about this, but just yesterday, the underwriter that we work with for insurance, he wrote this to me. And again, I just received this last night. He says, "Ulysses, you've heard me say several times, underwriting for port authorities is complicated because of the wide range of services they provide. Over the 6 years I represented the CPA, I've always been confident in describing what the CPA does, somewhat confident how it does it, what it does, and a bit tentative about accurately disclosing the volume of the exposure as underwriters needed. I'm just taking a few minutes to let you know that working with Faye has transformed that. She has made it a point to understand what I need and why, and then work with me to provide it. She is a credit to the CPA, and I want to wish you and Faye my best regards, Vin." I'm telling you, we are now operating, and I wanted to share this with the committee. We're operating at a higher level of proficiency at production right now. We have a team of Faye and Lori Epler, who is our part-time fiscal assistant, and that they are a great team. And I just wanted you to know that. So I'm going to turn this off. I probably should have saved this to the end after she gives her report. but I want you to know that the office is in great shape and under her leadership.
Hey, Faye, I'll say thank you and congratulations, and everything's in great shape, but certainly within our expectations of your capabilities. So, so thank you for putting the ship in order.
Hear, hear. I'll second that.
Thank you very much. Okay. Moving on to the financial.
How do you top that? Right?
Thank you, everyone, for coming to the meeting. Yeah, right. Happy Thanksgiving.
All righty.
Okay.
So revenue for the period from July to October 2023. I'm going to announce that we have 1.7 million coming in for the period, broken down as follows. .co operating appropriation for payroll, 280,000. Lease rent income, this is for NEO, 1 million, of which 500,000 was received. So we have 500,000 outstanding. This is estimated to be received by early December. The impact fee for Gateway, 81182. Pilotage commission of 28,000 for the period July to September, which has already been received. And we have our assessable revenue received from Gateway. Steve Doring Handling and Storage, 216510. And wharfage and dockage, 164,474. That is what makes up the 380,984. Those funds were received in November and is in our bank account.
Let's spend just a second on this and make sure everyone understands. So in the post 2019 scenario, we have a concession agreement with Gateway where we receive a percentage of their revenue for operating the terminal. And then in 2020, per the HDA, that agreement was slightly modified and supplemented with our sublease or Gateway's sublease to NEO, Ørsted, and Eversource, which generates the lease payment. And so we knew we would be getting $2 million a year from Ørsted and Eversource for the lease payment. And we knew we would be getting some amount of revenue from Gateway. And we had various models that, you know, would help us anticipate, but we didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. We now have the first quarter of assessable revenue. Mm-hmm. We get a certain percentage, I believe it's 7%. Of their stevedoring revenue, which is the revenue to handle. And then we get 50% of their dockage and wharfage revenue. And so we now see for the first time what this is likely to continue to look like in a wind scenario. One quarter of the smallest wind farm that'll be constructed out of the pier, $381,000. So very much in line with the upper end of our expectations, although you can see we didn't even budget for it this year because of uncertainty around timing, around magnitude, around the cadence of activities. But now, you know, by the time we do next year's budget, we'll have several quarters of revenue that we can base our assumptions on. And we now know that Revolution Wind, which is, you know, four times, more than that, almost six times the size of South Fork, will be coming through the pier immediately following South Fork. So we can do a better job of budgeting for this. But I think you'll all be as pleased as I am of the implications of this for the authority going forward.
And David, are those calculated and paid quarterly or quarterly? Yeah, all right. So this is the first quarter payment that arrived in November.
Yeah, I think I can't remember, Faye, if they have 15 or 30 days, but they send us a report at the end of each quarter. And, you know, frankly, over the course of the construction period, I, you know, was getting a little tired of seeing reports with zero revenue. and then you'll see we got 73,000 last year. So things were ramping up. But we didn't really know what, you know, a full quarter of activity would look like. And I'd say that this is probably not even that yet, but it gives us a much closer sense of where we'll be.
Thank you, David. Moving on to expenditure.
Can I just ask you a quick question about, what is it, the pilot commission? You know, so we budgeted for 90 and it's at 115. Is that because of the increased movement through? Do we know if that's because of the increased movement into the Port of New London for wind, or is that something else?
You're comparing the 90 to the 115?
Yep.
So the 115 in 2023 actually included an additional receipt because they did not make an accrual for fiscal year 2022. So we actually had five payments coming in 2020, fiscal year 2023. So that's why the 90,000 was remain.
And Paul, to answer your kind of overarching question, it is not variable based on activity. It's related to, Ulysses can explain it better than me, but it's more related to the volume of pilots in terms of their, you know, their numbers, rather than their level of activity.
Got it. Thanks.
Moving on. Expenditure for the period, salaries and benefits, 177,058. Contractual services, 135,823. Marketing and business development, no. Administrative and general expenses, 31,110. And other, 105,151. The details we would review subsequently. A net change in position for general operations, 1.321055. So for 4 months, we have received 500,000 over the estimated change in position for the year for 2024. Revenue for other bond receipts, 30,058,259, 30 million attributable to the HDA, and 58,259 attributable to Project 03, which is also HDA. Capital contribution partner, 23,750,000, and interest income for the CT Webster accounts, 161,227. Total 53,969,486. Expenditure for other HDA related, insurance 52,319, lease rent 196,851, and depreciation 157,89,99. A total change in net position of 53,462,372. Any questions for the other? Moving on to.
I'm sorry, Faye. I do have one more question. If we can go back just to the lease rent from the state pier. So
Sure.
explain the timing of that again.
The lease rent, the 1 million. So it's
Yeah.
500,000 every quarter that is due within the next month, within 30 days. So we will be involved.
Okay. So we sorry, explain that. So we all right, we got the second payment in October.
No, we received one payment out of the million so far. This is the new fiscal period.
Right. I'm sorry. I thought we've got a budget. We've got a budget for 2 million for the year.
For the year. So we
Yeah.
only budgeting based on the quarter. We only invoicing based on the quarter. So the other quarter, the next quarter will be January to March.
Okay.
At that point, you will see 1.5 million.
So we got 2 quarters worth in so far. Okay.
Yes.
But I think, Faye, correct me if this is wrong. We have 1 quarter cash and
Yes.
1 quarter is invoiced.
Yes.
But you're showing that as
Gotcha. It's accrued revenue with a receivable, right? Okay.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah.
You are correct.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Moving on to notes accompanying the statement of revenue and expenditure. Operational expenditure for payroll, 177,058. Contractual services, audit 26,200, communications outreach 2,000, contractual services 1.733, professional services 65,289, DOT parcel lease 2,700. There was a return check for 100. That's where you're seeing negative there. A stale dated, I should say. Legal fees in internal 2,653 and legal fees external 35,348, totaling 135,823. I would like to make one note, just to go back with regards to the DOT property parcel lease. The income related to that was actually invoiced and received in November. That is the full 3,600 for the year. So you will see that on the next financial report. But only 2,700 has been accrued to date. For marketing and business development, no. Page 3, administrative and general expenditure, 31,110, and other expenditure, 105,151. To touch on other expenditure, the revenue share expense for New London, that 21,651, that represents 10% of the 7% stevedoring, handling, and storage variable revenue that we receive from Gateway. That is paid to the City of New London.
And so to remind folks a bit on this, so in our agreement with the City of New London, as Faye said, we pay them 10% of our revenue from the stevedoring line with a minimum threshold. And so the last couple years, the minimum threshold was 50,000, despite not receiving any variable revenue from Gateway because of lack of operations at the port, we paid them their minimum amount, 50,000, out of our operating budget. There's an escalator there. So you see it's gone up this year to 68,750. We will owe them at the end of this year the greater of 68,750 or 10% of the stevedoring assessable revenue. And so we will pay them their share of our revenue from Gateway on a quarterly basis. And if it is less than the minimum guarantee at the end of the fiscal year, we will increase the fourth quarter payment to hit that minimum. Although based on, you know, what we're seeing here, we don't expect to be below the minimum. But that's how that works. We have a minimum annual guarantee to the city, or the greater of that, or 10% of our share of the stevedoring revenue. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. Moving on to the balance sheet. We have current assets, cash and cash equivalents of 1.8 million. This is what is in our general operations account. Restricted cash, 46 million, which is our Webster and one bond account. Due from State of Connecticut, $224,274. This is comprises of the net of the DOT call, as well as the pre-funded core IMTL amount. Receivables, deposits, and prepaid expenses, $989,004. This represents $500,000 lease rent that is due, $400,000 comprising of the two Gateway variables that were received in November. And we had a prepaid amount of $26,764.
I just want to make sure I understand that. So you're saying we received the calculated amount from Gateway, and yes. So you have that accrued in the P&L, but it's here as a receivable on the balance sheet because we hadn't gotten the check before October 31st, but we have since gotten the check.
You're correct.
Got it.
Non-current assets, capital assets, net of accumulated depreciation, $270,406,916, and right-to-use net, $617,494. The right-to-use assets net is the GASB adjustment for the leases. The 270,406,916, we will see a breakdown on page 5 as we continue. Current liabilities, accounts payable 181,817. Due to NEO 189,515, that is the interest on the Webster accounts. Retainage payable to Kiewit 838,492. Unearned revenue, 11,557. This is the deep Webster interest. Non-current liabilities, lease liability, long-term, 592,8920.
Sorry, Faye. Say that again. Due to NEO, the interest? Sorry.
The interest on their contributions.
Yes, yeah, so the way
that is due to them.
Their contributions, got it. They pre-funded that we deposit. Got it. That makes sense.
Exactly. The way the escrow was set up, our funding was actually segregated into different accounts, and they're entitled to the interest earned on their contributions. I don't remember what our number is, but our number is approaching a million and a quarter, if not a million and a half at this point.
Got it.
Net position, I'm sorry. So net assets will be 311,049,870. Net position as of the beginning of the period, 257,587,498. And change in net position as seen on page 1, 53,462,372, which leads us to our net position as of the end of the period, 311,049,870. Any more questions on the balance sheet?
I have none.
Moving on to page 5, which gives a breakdown of the assets. You have furniture and fixtures net as of October 31st, 38,059. Leasehold improvements, 7,614. Infrastructure improvements, this represents the amounts that was capitalized after substantial turnover, 233,854,880. And construction in progress to date, 36,506,364.
Hey, just remind me what the leasehold improvements are.
The leasehold improvements, sorry, were carpet
Okay.
installation and work done.
Non-movable aspects of the office.
Yes.
Got it.
Page 6, statement of cash flows. Cash received for services, 549,358. The 500,000 lease rent will be included here. State of Connecticut appropriations and bond funding. This is equivalent to the amount stated on page 1 for capital contributions. Harbor development revenue, NEO, 23,750 million. This also is equivalent to page 1. Funding from NEO, cash payments for customers for general operations activities, 345,346. Net cash from operating activities, 54,012,271. Acquisition of capital assets, this represents payments made regarding the HDA, 27,191,079. That's a net cash outflow.
Not that it matters a whole lot one way or the other, but does the cash flow, the acquisition of capital assets, does that include the retainage amount or does that not include retainage?
That will not include
Okay. So
retainage.
it's just it is money spent rather
Yes.
than work performed.
Agreed.
Okay, got it.
Strictly cash. Interest on investments, CT, 164,040. Interest on investments for NEO, 101,031. This will represent a difference on the front page, a slight difference as funds will not have been transferred as yet from Webster. Webster does a transfer that did not occur, so you will find a slight variance that will balance back at the end of the period. Cash and cash equivalents, net change for the period 28,670,730. No, sorry, 27,086,263. Cash and cash equivalents as of June 30th, 2023, 28,670,730, which leads to cash and cash equivalents as of October 31st, 2023, 47,946,993, which is a combination of cash in our operational account and in the Webster accounts. 47,946,993. Any questions on the cash flow?
No, I have none.
Moving on to page 7. This is an analysis of project balances per core. You would see project 3. I'm just highlighting those that had activity, 58,259. That was indicated as part of the amount on page 1. And then project 8, where you have 30,054,465. The 30 million you would see along with the 58,259 on page one, which makes up the 30,058,259. The 54,465 balance in Project 8 represents movement in the core pre-funded IMTL. Those funds are moved within core and not cash flow. Encumbrances for FY 2024, these are amounts that have been subjected to a purchase order. They are not guaranteed to be spent within the period. However, a purchase order have been created for them. Available funding for all projects as of October 31st remains at 15,849,205.
Hey, just remind me why we treat the Long Island Sound study
separate. It is through a separate project, and that's why it's separate. The first items are in Fund 21052, and the Long Island was transferred through Fund 21023.
Got it. Okay. So it's just the way that it was legislatively allocated, it falls under a different fund category.
Yes.
Okay.
So I have kept it separate for reconciliation purposes as well. And moving on to page 8, activity for the HDA. Total funding received to date, $311,350,000. Encumbered GMP cost to date, $272,850. And summary below, total encumbered soft cost to date, $35,428,487, which gives us total cost of $308,278 and remaining available funding of $3,071,000. Any questions on the last page?
Yeah, Faye, in the Harbor Development Agreement section, DWW, what's that stand for?
So that was for, it's...
So I can explain yes. That probably most easily. So
thanks,
the first commitment of contribution to the pier from our private partners was technically from a different company called Deepwater Wind, which was ultimately acquired by Ørsted, and they assumed that responsibility and then obviously added onto it. And so it's just a legacy of nomenclature that we refer to that as the Deepwater Wind contribution. And the reason why it is distinguished from the other NEO contributions is the way that the HDA treats the Deepwater Wind contribution is it's considered a state contribution. So this breeds some confusion when we talk about it publicly, because for the calculations around sublease revenue allocation, for example, we get the credit for the Deepwater Wind money because that money was allocated to the state of Connecticut through a wind procurement, and it was, you know, ours to contribute to the project.
Right.
But when we talk about the amount of private money that went into the pier, we count that as private money because it was not state bond money. But that's why it's sort of distinguished. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, David. And that completes my segment here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Any other questions or comments on any of the monthly reporting? It's great. Starting to get used to seeing it, right? It's the new format is great, comprehensive. Everything ties back to everything else. It'll get easier and easier every month. Okay, any old business?
So before we go forward to old business, David, is there... you know, some of these line items you had to explain because of the contracts. Is there a way to put that in like a note section so that it's, you know, in case you're not here or something like that, that, you know, people can act, you know, understand why that is?
I will do that, Paul. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good suggestion. The more, yeah, the more we pull this stuff up into every document so you don't have to go dig better, for sure.
Yep.
Cool. Okay, any old business? Any new business? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
By Tom, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Doug. Great. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Remember, yeah, we not only have our committee and board meeting December. Ulysses, remind me the date.
December the 19th.
December the 19th. But I think we're going to do our annual public hearing that evening as well. I think
The public hearing is December the 12th.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so public hearing, virtual, the evening of December 12th, 5 p.m.
Yes.
Committee meetings, virtual or in person on the 19th, board meeting in person with a virtual option on the 19th, and I think we're targeting New Haven, so folks can sort of plan travel schedule accordingly. Cool. All right. Awesome. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a great rest of the week.
Happy Thanksgiving.